Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Friday, September 21st, 2018. Today we have a much cooler day. It's going to be cool, sunny, high of 77, and a low of 48. So let's find out what's going on here locally. First, we have a large picture of Zach Magan, manager at the Chicago at the Choice Vape Shop in the lower level of Smoker's Choice in Bloomington. He says that vaping is the only thing that helped him quit smoking cigarettes 4.5 years ago. So let's find out that vaping sparks debate between users and doctors. E-cigarettes are not as harmful, but are by no means benign. People who vape and health professionals agree that vaping isn't as harmful to one's health as cigarette smoking. After that, there's little agreement. "It's the only thing I found that made me quit smoking," Zach Magan said of using electronic cigarettes or e-cigarettes. "Vaping is inhaling and exhaling vapor produced by an e-cigarette." Zach says, "I quit 4.5 years ago and haven't touched a cigarette since." Magan's the manager of Smoker's Choice, 1212 Towanda Avenue, Bloomington. That includes the Choice Vape Shop. But Dr. John Burrow, a pulmonologist at Advocate Bromine Medical Center, said it's not as harmful as cigarettes, but it is by no means benign. "We'd like to get people off of it that's vaping. Vaping is very harmful and just as addictive," said Karnika Verma, a pulmonologist with Illinois Lung and Critical Care Institute, a part of OSF Medical Group. "Anytime we put anything into our airway, it doesn't belong there, it's harmful." "Most e-cigarettes contain nicotine," said Marissa Hauser, Director of Health Promotion with the Macon County Health Department. "While the amount of nicotine may be less than the cigarette, nicotine can harm the developing adolescent brain," she said. E-cigarettes are a battery-operated device that people use to inhale nicotine. They often look like regular cigarettes and give off vapor instead of smoke. E-cigarettes were marketed several years ago to help people quit smoking cigarettes, but they have generated debate because some companies have marked e-cigarettes to youth with flashy packaging and kid-friendly candy flavors. While fewer youth are smoking cigarettes compared with several years ago, more are vaping. 12% of high school students are vaping, according to 2017 National Youth Tobacco Survey. "It's become the trendy new addiction for a lot of younger people, and older people are using it to try to quit smoking," said Burr. Last week, the head of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration called teen use of e-cigarettes an epidemic and gave manufacturers 60 days to develop plans to stop underage use of their products. If plans fall short, the FDA could block sales of the product. "In general, I'm in favor of the FDA regulations, especially the effort to limit the use among young people," Burr said. Verma agreed. 8 years ago, when vaping products were first coming out, they were not regulated, she said. "When you have flavors like cotton candy, who is it targeted to? These companies have a responsibility to make sure their products don't get into the hands of children," said Megan. "Anything you can do to make sure kids don't buy it, I'm for it. Here we card everybody. We don't sell to children. I say ban online sales of vape products and double the penalties on people who sell to minors, and we'd cut drastically reduce the problem of kids vaping," he proposed. "Just don't ruin it for the rest of us," he continued. "That includes not banning flavors." Megan said e-cigarettes flavors such as cinnamon, sweet sugar, Candy helped him to quit smoking cigarettes. "It changes your palate and is more satisfying than a cigarette," he explained. "It helps you to quit smoking because if you return to a cigarette, it's like the first time you tried one," he said. "It's not good. And while e-cigarettes have nicotine, they don't have as much as cigarettes, and you don't inhale for as long," said Megan. Adding, since he switched from smoking to vaping, his endurance and length have improved. J.C. Connors, a customer in the vape shop this week, said he smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day until vaping, combined with the transdermal patch, helped him to quit smoking 8 years ago. "It was the most painful, painless, effortless change I ever went through," said Connors of Libertyville. "I haven't had a cigarette in 8 years." Connors said he no longer gets short of breath when he exerts himself and called vaping far less intrusive than cigarette smoke. "I walk outside, take 3 hits, and go back to work," he said. But Burr, Verma, and Hoosier said the dangers of vaping go beyond inhaling nicotine, which increases the risk of cardiovascular disease. E-cigarettes also produce formaldehyde, which is toxic. Burr said vaping solutions contain chemicals, and some have been linked to cancer and lung disease. Verma said, "Nothing is known about the long-term health implications of vaping because they haven't been studied long enough," said Hoosier and Burr, who urge patients to try more conventional means to quit smoking. This would include nicotine replacement products such as Chantix or Wellbutrin. And what does he tell young people considering vaping? "I know your friends are telling you it's great and a source of energy, but down that road it will harm your lungs and you won't be able to do things you want to do when you're older with lung disease," said Hoosier. "You are in charge of your health." So it's something important to remember. Okay. In election news, Rauner Pritzker clash on taxes. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner on Thursday accused rival J.B. Pritzker of plotting a massive income tax hike on the people of Illinois, a claim the Democrat dismissed as another lie from a governor who's been lying for 3.5 years. One of Pritzker's top priority is changing Illinois' flat income tax to a graduated system in which the highest earners would be taxed at a higher rate than middle class and low income households. The billionaire's businessman said it's a fairer structure that would require people like himself and Rauner, a wealthy former private equity investor, to pay more and would reduce the amount of middle-class people pay. But Pritzker refused during the debate Thursday, as he has throughout the campaign, to detail what those rates should be. He says the legislature should decide, while Rauner says Pritzker is dodging the question because he's, quote, cannot be trusted when it comes to taxes. He doesn't want to talk about it because the truth is so painful and politically unpopular, Rauner said. Governor Rauner, you're lying, Pritzker responded. He's defending a system that's good for him and it's bad for middle-class taxpayers. The debate at NBC5 in Chicago was the first of the race to include 2 third-party candidates, Conservative Party candidate and GOP State Senator Sam McCann and Libertarian Grayson Cash Jackson. Rauner, who's seeking his second term, is considered one of the most vulnerable governors up for re-election this fall, and polls have shown Pritzker with a healthy lead. Rauner leveled several attacks on Pritzker and his connections to longtime Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan, who said he has Illinois in a stronghold. but his attacks weren't limited to Pritzker. Rauner accused McCann of being a, quote, phony candidate, but up by Madigan to take GOP votes to help Pritzker win. That launched one of the most spirited moments of the debate. "You're a liar, and you've been lying to people of Illinois from the beginning," said McCann, who says he's running because the governor betrayed conservatives on issues such as abortion and immigration. He jumped in the race after Rauner narrowly defeated a conservative state representative in the Republican Party. "You are getting paid on a per-interruption basis," by Madigan. "Are you getting paid on a per-interruption basis by Madigan or a lump sum?" Rauner responded. McCann replied, "We are here to take you both out." Pritzker blamed Rauner for Illinois' years-long state budget impasse, which brought huge cuts to social services, higher education, and other programs, and took Illinois to the brink of having its credit rating downgraded to junk status. And he criticized Rauner for constantly blaming others, namely Madigan, for the failures of his administration, noting the governor declared late last year, "I am not in charge of Illinois." "The truth of the matter is, Governor Rauner has got to go," Pritzker said. Rauner and Pritzker have raised roughly $200 million combined from the election, most of their own bank accounts, making the contest one of the most expensive governor races in U.S. history. The spending drew some jabs from McCann and Jackson, who've raised a small fraction of that amount. McCann said Rauner and Pritzker are likely to spend more on paperclips than his whole campaign. So, interesting thoughts expressed last night in that debate. And then we also have a trial set for a defendant in a CIAM case. More details of the complex criminal case against five former management officials of the city-owned arena could be disclosed in December when the first trial opens for one of the five defendants. Paul Grazer, former food and beverage director for what is now known as Grossinger Motors Arena, filed a speedy trial request Thursday that requires prosecutors to set a trial date within 160 days. Associate Judge Michael Stroh set a December 10th trial date. As of Thursday, Grazer faced just one felony charge for tax evasion. In a ruling provided to lawyers at the hearing, Stroh dismissed two counts each of theft and money laundering and a single count of conspiracy. That was conspiracy to commit tax evasion. Stroh agreed with defense lawyer Philip Finnegan that the three-year statute of limitations had expired on the five charges. The remaining charge of tax evasion has a five-year statutory limit, making its allegation of January 2013 to March 2016 a viable charge, the judge ruled. First Assistant State's Attorney Brad Rigdon said after the hearing that the state plans to seek new indictments against Grazer that will address the deficiencies of the charges. Two other co-defendants formerly employed by Central Illinois Arena Management also were in court Thursday. Joel Brown, defense lawyer for CIAM's former assistant manager of finance, Kelly Klein, said talks were ongoing with the state to resolve theft and money laundering charges against his client. Brown said he has held off on filing pretrial motions because of the productiveness of the discussions we're having. Brown previously said that Klein does not intend to plead guilty to any of the charges against her An October 26th hearing is set in Klein's case. During a hearing for former CIAM general manager Bart Rogers, Rigdon said he plans to refile theft charges dismissed twice by Stroh based on statute of limitation issues. The prosecutor said he is waiting on a ruling in CIAM owner John Y. Butler's case before returning to a grand jury. Rogers still faces a separate theft charge filed in July related to $15,000 he allegedly transferred to a sports management firm from arena accounts. Theft, money laundering, wire fraud, and conspiracy to commit tax fraud charges also remain against Jay Lash, ex-finance director of BMI Concessions, the one-time food and beverage service for the venue. Butler's lawyers have challenged 32 of 44 remaining counts alleging money laundering, wire fraud, and tax evasion. His defense lawyer, Stephen Beckett, has argued that a civil court is the more appropriate venue for the allegations covered in the 111 indictments initially filed against the former management officials. That concludes our articles from the first page and the second page, but let's go on to Flick's fact and see what he has a question about. Okay. Mr. Flick's fact for today, East Street is as far east as Bloomington once stretched, and North Street is as far north as Normal once went. Can you name what street in Normal today used to be called South Street, and which street in Bloomington used to be West Street? I think I would have a problem with this. Let's see what the answer is. Question. East Street is as far east as Bloomington once stretched. North is as far north as Normal once stretched. Can you name what street in Normal today used to be called South Street? Which street in Bloomington used to be called West Street? And the answer is Florence Avenue was once South Street. Roosevelt Avenue in Bloomington was once West. So congratulations if you got that one. I think that for me would be a toughie. So let's go back up and find out that there are some road closures this week. It says North Center Street in Bloomington. The 100 block of North Center Street between Washington and Front Streets in downtown Bloomington will be closed to all traffic from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday or Friday due to sidewalk and traffic signal work. So that's North Center Street in Bloomington, the 100 block between Washington and Front in downtown is closed from 7 a.m. to 5 for sidewalk and traffic signal work. Here's an event you might be interested in the Daily Digest. Stevenson Lecturers announced. Former White House Chief Information Officer Teresa Payton and environmental activist Vandana Shiva will visit Illinois Wesleyan University and Illinois State University as guest speakers for the Adelaide Stevens Memorial Lecture Series during the 2018-19 academic year. Patton will give her talk, Hype or Reality, Your Workplace and Blockchain, Cryptocurrency, Artificial Intelligence, Machine Learning, and Internet Things. This will be at 7:30 p.m. October 29th at the Illinois State Concert Hall. Her talk will be preceded by a Q&A session at 3 p.m. in the Hanson Student Center at Illinois Wesleyan. Ms. Shiva will present her lecture, The Future of Food, at 7:30 p.m. April 15th in the Hanson Student Center at Illinois Wesleyan following a 3 p.m. Q&A at Illinois State. On page 3, we have a follow-up of the coroner verifying IDs of the I-39 crash victims from Thursday. Three people killed in a fiery crash involving two semi-trailer trucks early Wednesday on Interstate 39 near Hudson have been tentatively identified, but officials said they are not ready to release their names. Release of the victims' names is pending further investigation by the McLean County Coroner's Office, and they will be released as soon as all information can be verified scientifically and proper notification to their families is completed. McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis said in a news release issued Thursday afternoon, preliminary results of autopsies completed Thursday showed the three died of blunt force injuries resulting from the crash, Davis reported, and details of the crash have not been released, and the Illinois State Police said Thursday that no new information is being released. Accident reconstruction experts have been working on the case since Wednesday, and eyewitnesses told the Pantograph that it appeared a northbound semi crossed the median and hit a southbound semi near mile marker 4 between Normal and Hudson. The collision was followed by a large explosion, they said, and cell phone video showed the subsequent fire. You may view this at www.pantograph.com. Ryan Lanham of Bloomington was driving north just before 6 a.m. Wednesday when he saw the fire. There was this big, bad explosion, he said. It was the biggest explosion I have ever seen. It was like something out of a war. It's hard to believe that neither of them were fuel trucks because it was really intense. Lanham pulled over to see if he could help, but the fire had already engulfed the semis. And we have a picture on the left of the firefighters and the Illinois State Police combing through the wreckage of the semi-trucks that had collided. It's a very sad day. County names Jacobs the next CEO. So if you are, Country names Jacobs the next CEO. Jim Jacobs of Bloomington, who has worked in leading legal positions for Country Financial since 2008, has been named the company's next chief executive officer. Jacobs' appointment is effective in early 2019. He will succeed Kurt Bach, who is retiring January 31st. Jacobs will be CEO for each of the operating companies comprising Country Financial under general direction of the president and board of directors of the company. Country Financial, which announced the appointment Thursday, does business in 39 states. It offers auto, property, life, business, and long-term care insurance, retirement planning, investment management, and trust services. I am honored to be the next CEO of Country Financial, Jacobs said in a statement. Illinois Farm Bureau founded Country Financial to protect farms and families nearly a century ago, and that financial security mission continues. I look forward to working alongside our financial representatives and employees to serve their customers. He previously was the general counsel, secretary, and chief legal officer for Country Financial, Illinois Farm Bureau, and affiliated companies from 2005 to 2008. He served as an attorney and assistant corporate secretary in IFB's Office of General Counsel. Prior to joining IFB, Jacobs was a litigant attorney for 14 years in Louisiana and a partner in the New Orleans firm of Murphy, Rogers, Sloss & Gamble. Jacobs holds a law degree from Wake Forest University School of Law and a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Evansville. He is a member of the State Bars of Illinois, Louisiana, North Carolina, and a member of the International Association of Defense Counsels. Jacob is a board member for Special Olympics for Illinois, was a tutor for Star Literacy, and is a past member of the board of directors of Heartland Head Start. Bach, 65, is a native of Leroy and leads more than 5,000 Country Financial employees who serve more than a million households. He took over from John Blackburn in January of 2012 as CEO. No 2 days are ever the same, he said earlier this year, but the job is to take care of people, take care of the business, and plan for the future. But I believe this. The CEO is the least important person in the company. The employees and the agents are the real backbone of the company. Okay. And let's take a moment from to look on page 4 at some of the cheers that our viewers and readers have sent in. It says, it's cheers all around. And the first one is time to talk. It's an unnamed family has contributed $4 million to the YMCA campaign designed to raise money for a new facility, and the gift has to be matched by public donations, but the YMCA is within striking distance with just another $1.8 million to go. And we don't know who you are, but thank you for getting the ball rolling. And here's another cheers that says to everyone involved in the recent projects with a COP event that encouraged kids to work with police officers on fun projects. As kids, we usually look upon police officers as heroes, but not people who we see as being all that approachable. That distance can unfortunately grow over time. Programs like Projects with a Cop or Shop with a Cop or any sort of familiar similar interaction break down those walls, so we learn to respect and trust all of our public safety workers, and they learn to respect and trust all of us. Here's another one, a cheer to Illinois State and Illinois Wesleyan Universities for their recent solid rankings in U.S. News and World Report annual report on colleges and university. USI ranked in the top 100 among the best public national universities. Specifically, the school was 91st among public national universities and 171 overall among public and private institutions. IWU ranked 72nd in the top 100 national liberal arts universities. Bradley University in Peoria ranked 6th among the regional universities. Millikan in Decatur was 9th. Eastern Illinois University, 38th in the same categories. And Eureka College tied for 33rd. These rankings are based on factors such as student retention, student-to-faculty ratio, financial resources, alumni giving, graduate rates, among other things. So those are all very encouraging cheers. And at this point, we will take a short break and return to the second half hour of the Pantograph for Friday, September 21st, 2018. Please stay tuned.